What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for 3 years now. And this is our first with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. Well, we have a lot to talk about today, guys, because we have some more news. We have a new signing in Jeremy Davis, and I also want to get into some individual free agent grades and go over how we feel about each individual signing in a bite-sized portion. But it starts with Darius Filon getting signed by the Cardinals, a huge blow to the Chargers, so that's where I want to start. Darius Filon, guys, ends up going to the Cardinals and getting basically the same exact deal as Brandon Mebane got with the Chargers, which is an absolute gut punch. He gets 2 years, $10 million, and five of that is guaranteed and can make up to $12 million with incentives. You know, you heard us before get extremely mad about what they ended up giving Brandon Mebane when Jeff Miller reported he made $9.3 million on a two-year contract with $5.25 million guaranteed. Guys, the guaranteed money is all that matters. And right now, Darius Filon just signed for less guaranteed money than Brandon Mebane. Let that sink in. Anyone that's watched Chargers football any of the last two seasons or three seasons, it makes absolutely no sense, David. And I think, you know, losing Darius Filon is one thing, but losing him like this is infuriating.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there, Daniel. I think the first word that came to mind was infuriating, because Brandon Mebane is 34 years old and he was far from the best defensive lineman. Oh, wait, the best defensive lineman was Darius Filon, and it wasn't even close. Darius Filon got consistent pressure on the quarterback, was effective stopping the run, actually got push. You know, he was clearly the best interior defensive lineman on the Chargers last year, and he signs for less money with the Cardinals that you gave to an aging Brandon Mebane. It just makes absolutely no sense. And, you know, when we used to say the Chargers are going to charger, well, this right here is a perfect example of the Chargers chargering, because this is a absolutely terrible, terrible move.
Especially with just the way that Darius Filon was ascending. You saw that Brandon Mebane is in decline, and you could also see that Darius Filon was ascending and getting better, getting the 8.5 sacks the last two seasons, getting much more push in the pocket than he had in his first couple of years. John, I know one of our fans, and your fan specifically, Lamlock, was excited to hear about what you had to say on this topic specifically, so let him have it.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that I actually have people waiting to hear my reaction to this, but what is going on here in this Chargers contract negotiation meetings? Because there's the Adrian Phillips deal and the Mebane deal, and then we lose Filon. And this is right after Tom Telesco got an extension. It's like, is Tom Telesco becoming a Donald Butler right now? Are we getting a really good guy that gets a contract extension that now is like, well, now I got that extension, I can just start sucking now? You got Mebane with this big deal who lacked in production. Filon, who had a lot of production, basically got almost the same deal with another team, and you couldn't offer him. And this is with other teams bidding on him. Other teams were trying to get Darius Filon, and we couldn't even give him the same kind of deal in a bidding war. Like, what else do you have to do to get these young guys that are getting better rather than signing older veterans? Yeah, Mebane could have a locker room presence and people could like him, but that can only go so far. Eventually, it's got to be, what are they putting on the field? If Filon put way better production on the field, and Adrian Phillips put way better production on the field than Mebane as well, even if it's a different position, it's still way more production. And he only got a one-year, like $2 million, $3 million deal. And you only signed him for 1 year. What is going on with these signings? This makes no sense at all. I'm really starting to question Tom Telesco right now. They better be planning something for the draft.
Well, and we told you guys all along that once we got into this and once we looked at the guys the Chargers were going to lose, we said, hey, one of these guys they're going to bring back, and we are going to say, what the hell? And of course, it happened. And this year, it's Brandon Mebane. I mean, we've seen it before with this team. You think they're getting over it, and just to really put that much of your very limited cap space into a guy like Brandon Mebane instead of Darius Filon, who was up and coming, is just crazy. And I mean, it's kind of conflicting though, David, because one of the things that Tom Telesco hangs his hat on is developing homegrown players and re-signing them. Brandon Mebane is not your homegrown player. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it goes against his philosophy. His philosophy coming out of his own mouth was, I want to draft guys and I want to re-sign them and keep them in the organization for their entire careers. That is what he has said time and time again. And this is going completely against the grain. So I'm just not understanding why he feels like this is a good move to let a young, hungry, improving defensive lineman walk away in free agency for not a lot of money, and you keep the old, aging, declining veteran. Like I said, it doesn't make sense to me, Daniel. And unless they make significant moves in the draft, you're going to see what my grades are, people. And right now, it's not pretty.
Well, and I just feel like now it's hard to even say that you're going to be able to fix this problem just by the draft. Yes, you might take two defensive tackles. I mean, that's not out of the question by any means. But right now you have Brandon Mebane, T.Y. McGill, and Justin Jones under contract. You had Darius Filon as a sixth-round pick. You were paying him nothing. You still would have continued to really pay him nothing in the grand scheme of what defensive tackles are getting paid, and you let him walk out the door. John, how are the Chargers going to get around this? Because right now, the Chargers went into free agency with a couple of key positions that they needed to upgrade: defensive tackle and safety. And right now, yes, you brought back Adrian Phillips, and that's a huge help, and we love to have Adrian Phillips back, even though that's only a scab one-year deal. What do you do from here now? Because the Chargers need defensive tackle help, and it seems like they spent too much of that money on the wrong one.
You're going to have to hope that you can find really, really low draft picks that are good, or somebody that's still on sign of free agency that's going to be really, really cheap, but at this point, it's got to be the draft. The safety and defensive tackle both need to be the draft. And that's because it's going to be cheap. If you sign even someone in the fourth, third, sixth round, somewhere around there, you're going to get a pretty cheap contract that'll fit in your salary cap. You're going to have to build somewhere in there, even if it means going all in on some guy that's just really, really good at the run and can't do pass rush at all. Like, you're going to have to gamble on a guy like that. And it's because of money situations. You put yourself in a hole now. If you're going to draft a good safety, it's got to be in the first two rounds, because it's got to be someone that's going to produce right now, because we saw that hole that Jahlil Adai was giving us while being on the field. You got to fill that hole with a new safety. And on defensive line, if you get a guy who's good at the run and that's it, plays two downs, and then you bring somebody else in to fill that pass rushing hole, which is going to be basically just Bosa and Ingram taking care of business, you could be set, but it's going to be really hard to do that with money situations that we're in.
Yeah, I mean, on third down, you can kick Isaac Rochelle into the defensive tackle and have him rush from there. You could have Joey Bosa kick into tackle and play Uchenna and Wosu at that defensive end spot. There's ways you can do that. If you could get a defensive tackle that can just stop the run, that would help you tremendously. But oh, hey, you want a couple of late round picks that can contribute, you let yours go. Darius Filon, a sixth round pick who you could have re-signed for basically nothing. But the Chargers,
Isaac Rochelle is also a late round pick too. Like, we have all these good defensive linemen, and who knows what's going to happen to with Rochelle in the next couple of years.
Yeah, it's hard to tell right now. I mean, it's just every time you think you can have a lot of faith in the Chargers front office and that they turned a corner, there's always a head-scratching move around the corner. But I do want to talk about one other guy the Chargers did re-sign in Jeremy Davis and what that means for the Chargers and that receiving core going forward, coming up right after this. All right, guys. Well, I've calmed down a little bit about the Darius Filon leaving the Chargers. I think you can tell by how you know, passionate we were in that segment, just how much Darius Filon meant to this team. And we probably didn't talk about enough of the things that Darius Filon did well as far as pushing the pocket, being a force in the running game, and being able to get after the quarterback. But at the same time, you can tell by the way we're talking about it how big of a loss that is. But the Chargers did find a way to bring back one of their lesser players, a guy that plays a lot of special teams, wide receiver Jeremy Davis, to a one-year $895,000 deal. John, what did you think when you saw the Chargers bring back a guy who didn't really get a lot of receiving snaps the last year?
I think this is more of the Chargers bringing back somebody who has been in the system a few years and might know some stuff, might have a little bit of chemistry with Philip Rivers just from being at training camp and practices and stuff like that. So I like that they brought him back. I don't expect him to be a big play guy. I feel like he's just insurance and he's a cheap option to fill the roster with so that you're not bringing in a whole new guy to go over the whole playbook with and having to figure out if he works well with your system. You've already seen what you have in Jeremy Davis. And with the loss of Tyrell Williams, it's a good replacement, if you will, just for filling the roster. And the next step has to be cutting Travis Benjamin and getting a wide receiver probably in the draft. I saw they were meeting with some wide receivers, including one from South Carolina. So I think the Chargers might be planning on getting another wide receiver in the draft. So if you could get maybe him, Cantrell, and a new draft pick going, you could probably have a young receiving core for Rivers.
Well, and you can't forget about Dylan Cantrell as well, who they took with a sixth-round pick last season. You have to think that you could maybe see some production from him if they can get something out of him. And as far as Jeremy Davis, he is a guy that covers a lot of special teams. He's on a lot of the coverage units, so he does bring you some value there outside of the receiving core. David, what did you think when you saw the Jeremy Davis signing?
Yeah, I thought it was a, you know, a decent move. I mean, a guy who's been in the system for a couple of years, just really playing teams, hasn't really got a lot of opportunities to play on offense just simply because there are players that were more established and, you know, just quite frankly, better players than he was at that point. But I think Jeremy Davis at this point has to be salivating because, you know, I think he might actually get an opportunity to get on the football field and see what he can do as an actual wide receiver, as opposed to a gunner or, you know, someone on coverage teams. You know, so I think, you know, he's got to take this opportunity very seriously. I think in this offseason, he needs to do everything that he possibly can to make sure his body is right, you know, his agility is right, and that, you know, he's got to take this opportunity. You got to take the bull by the horns here because he might not ever get another chance to try and get on the football field as a wide receiver. So, think this is big for Jeremy Davis, but we'll see how the Chargers handle that wide receiver situation going forward.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Davis has to be happy because Tyrell Williams is obviously on the Raiders now, so that's an opening slot for you. Travis Benjamin hasn't really been able to stay on the field, and when he has been, hasn't been productive as a wide receiver, especially last season. So that Jeremy Davis has to be ready to come in and actually be a receiver now. Dylan Cantrell might be another guy who gets some playing time. Travis Benjamin's still on the team. The team likes Artavis Scott a lot and keeps him around. I would rather have him probably than Travis Benjamin at this point when you talk about the value that you would get from each of those contracts and what you're getting out of each of those players, especially with what Desmond King has been able to do in the return game. But I'm wondering, since you have another receiver in Jeremy Davis, you still have Dylan Cantrell and probably Artavis Scott if you want him out there. That's five receivers right there, not including Travis Benjamin. So, John, do you think that the Chargers would have an easier time cutting Travis Benjamin now? Do you think this could have been a move, a preemptive move, to try to, if you have to clear up cap space to bring another guy in, you don't have to feel that bad about losing Travis Benjamin because you have another four receivers still on the roster?
I wouldn't say that. I would say this is more of a reaction to the Tyrell Williams move. So I don't really know if this is more of the move for Travis Benjamin. I have to think that they're going to release Travis Benjamin. I'm thinking it has to be in the works with the way the contracts and the people we've signed and haven't re-signed have been going. You have to think that they have to have a plan to free up more money. So I think the Benjamin move is probably still going to happen regardless if you had signed Jeremy Davis or not. I think they're probably going to use cutting Travis Benjamin as a roster spot for another wide receiver that they think could fit if they find it in the draft or even an undrafted free agent. That's how we got Tyrell Williams and Malcolm Floyd. So we've had some success finding wide receivers in the undrafted range. So that could be it too.
The Chargers usually have a few decent receivers that don't even make the team as undrafted free agents. I mean, we've seen, you know, guys like Quentin Patton. You've seen guys like Nelson Spruce, who now plays on the Fleet, or Tavis Scott as well. And the guys you mentioned, Tyrell Williams and Malcolm Floyd, coming out of undrafted free agency. So the Chargers have found ways to get value. But you'd have to think, David, that if the Chargers are going to sign a free agent that they don't have the money for, the place it's going to come is probably going to be that Travis Benjamin contract.
Yeah, no, that's the first place you're going to go. I mean, you look at the contracts on the docket and you look at value versus what they're making. You had an awesome tweet the other day demonstrating how much money Travis Benjamin has been stealing from the Chargers organization for the last couple of years, which I thought was very entertaining. But yeah, that's absolutely the first place. You know, if you find anybody that you want to sign, it's, hey, Travis, thanks for everything you didn't do because you did nothing. Here you go. Here's your walking papers and, kick rocks. I mean, he just needs to go. I don't understand what's taken so long. I don't know why the Chargers and the front office have been unable to realize or recognize that the production versus the money he's making is grossly different and not where you want to be. But hey, again, that's the Chargers for you. They just, you know, sometimes they make brilliant moves and sometimes they make moves that really make you want to pull all your hair out.
I forget what fan it was that said that, or that got mad that I said that Philip Rivers made some bonehead plays, but sometimes the Chargers as an organization make bonehead moves, and we've seen that growing up in San Diego, all of us. So we know that that's nothing new for the Chargers, but I think it's a valuable chip to have right now because you have that money that could be easily made available if you want to free that cap space. And if you don't get anyone, you still have him on the roster and you're not depleting the roster. But hey, at a certain point, more of his contract is going to be guaranteed and you're not going to get that money back. So the Chargers have to make some decisions. And right now there's a few spots they could definitely use that money to try to fill holes on this team. So that contract to me is as flimsy as it gets. And you never know, if you see the Chargers linked to another guy in free agency, Travis Benjamin could be the first one to go, unless, you know, we hear a press conference that Tom Telesco cares so much about the leadership that Travis Benjamin brings and they want to keep that for, you know, $6 million a season. But I do want to get into free agency as a whole and kind of the individual grades we have for each of the guys the Chargers have either brought in from other teams and guys they've re-signed from last year's roster, coming up right after this. All right, guys, in this segment, I want to get into some free agency grades. I know we all have a ton of opinions and we've talked about each of these guys at different points of the week. But I do want to kind of give everyone who maybe has missed some of that a kind of bite-sized portion of how we feel about these free agent moves the Chargers have pulled so far. So let's keep it quick. Let's get to everybody. And John, I will start with you, and the player we are starting with is the first guy the Chargers brought in, and that is Thomas Davis. John, what did you think about the Thomas Davis contract, and what grade would you give it?
I liked it. I felt like it was something we needed. It fits what we're trying to do with the Philip Rivers situation, where we're trying to maximize what we can get out of Philip Rivers' last few years. And you don't really have time to be finding young guys. So to get a older veteran linebacker for not so much money, I liked it a lot. I'd give it an A-, just because I think we could have gotten someone a little bit better for a little bit more money. But I still love it, so I'll give it an A-.
David, how did you feel about it?
Yeah, I wasn't so warm on it. I mean, I like the fact that Thomas Davis is a great tackler, has a lot of experience in the league, been very durable throughout his career. So, you know, he's definitely going to come in and help the Chargers. But again, I just, you know, I can't get over that age factor. I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, he's going to be going to continue to be, you know, ultra productive at an NFL level for too much longer. So, you know, I'm sticking around the C plus B minus area for that move. I do like Thomas Davis as a person, and you know, the production that he's shown, throughout his career, but you know, I'm just, that age takes it down a couple notches for me. So again, I'm going to go C plus B minus for me.
All right. I mean, if that's where you're going on Thomas Davis, I'm scared to hear what your grades are on some of the ones that we have coming up. But for me, I'm going to give it a solid B. You know, I think that best case scenario, if we were doing this again a year from now after we see what they did and regraded this on how the results play out, he could get up to an A minus and he could get as low as a C minus, because even if he doesn't play a lot, if he gets hurt, I mean, you still see why they did it. They had a need and they needed experience in that position and a guy who was a sure tackler. And you got him at a relatively cheap contract for the position. I mean, I think it's a good move. I think Thomas Davis still has game left in the tank, which is why I'm going a solid B, because I absolutely think the guy can still play even with as old as he is. But let's move on to the next free agent the Chargers brought in, and that is Tyrod Taylor. David, what did you think of the Tyrod Taylor move? What grade would you give that?
So I like the Tyrod Taylor move. I think, you know, it's been a long time since I've felt comfortable in any sense of the word with a backup quarterback, you know, if ever there was a situation to where Phillip Rivers could not be on the football field, knock on wood. Obviously, he's shown tremendous durability throughout his career. But, you know, there hasn't really been many guys that I've felt comfortable giving the football to in the event of a disaster. You know, we've had guys like Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst. We've had, you know, obviously, you know, Cardale Jones and Geno Smith and a couple other guys that just, scary. You know, I think, you know, John said on the previous show, Billy Fulick, that was probably the last guy I was a little comfortable with, you know, giving the ball to, and a guy, you know, I think can make some plays. I feel that same way about Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, to be a little more sure in that quarterback room, I like it. I understand why they made the move. There's connections there with Anthony Lynn. So I'll give it a pretty I like the move. I'll give it a B.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I think I'm right around that as well. John, what would you grade that move?
I would go B minus, only because of how much money they gave him. But I love that we got him. It's good to have a mobile, experienced quarterback to be your backup. As you mentioned, we've had some pretty bad backup quarterbacks. I mean, Brad Sorensen and Geno Smith, Cardale Jones. The list can go on all the way back to before Billy Volk. I mean, even Charlie Whitehurst wasn't that great.
He was Kellen Clemens.
Kellen Clemens. I mean, even before that, you can name guys like Cleo Lemon. Yep. If we want to keep going. But we just had so many bad guys. I can only name Billy Volk and Tyrod Taylor as guys that I trusted with the ball if we didn't have our QB in. So it's good to have this backup. But that was a lot of money to give a backup QB that's probably never going to see the field. So I give it B minus.
Yeah, and I think on most teams, I mean, I think if he was Marcus Mariota's backup, he probably would have made a lot more money because you knew he was going to play, you know, or if he was behind a guy who is injured much more often than Phillip Rivers is, which is never. I think that definitely brings the grade down a little bit. For me, I think the money for a backup quarterback, that's not very much money to give a guy that could have had a chance to start on some teams. I think that it's good for the Chargers because it means that they are committed to Phillip Rivers. I'm going to give it a B plus because I think the Chargers, at least at that position, at signing a backup quarterback, they have a top three backup in the league. You have a guy that's not going to turn the ball over, can play safe, knows the offense. When Anthony Lynn was his offensive coordinator, he ran all of these things. I really like the move of Tyrod Taylor, and I think he's probably not the future quarterback that you're looking for, but he's a good guy to have behind an aging Phillip Rivers. Let's go to the first guy of the Chargers. Let's
also not forget, he took the Bills to the playoffs. That means something.
That's true. Great point, John. I'm glad you stuck that in there. He took the Buffalo Bills to the playoffs and ended there. I think it was either a 16 or 17 year drought. So you have to commend him for that. But let's get into Denzel Perryman quickly, John. What do you give as a grade for the Chargers bringing back Denzel Perryman on a 2-year deal?
This one I'm like back and forth with, because I could see plus, but I could also go B plus. Mostly because it's a guy that's been injured, but at the same time, you know what you're going to get. When he's on the field, he makes a big difference in the run stopping. And I'm going to have to go with the B plus, just because when he's on the field, he stops the run. It's a major difference in this defense. When he's gone, you can see that hole. Just in that Raider game that he got hurt, when he left, the Raiders moved the ball a little bit better on us on the ground, and we didn't really get the ball as much as we would like to. So just that alone right there just shows how big he is. And we didn't give him a ton of money. So if he goes down again, we can cut him after this year and not have like our cap space ruined.
Well, I think if you knew he was going to be healthy, you would give this move an A. But it's just impossible to know. I'm going to go ahead and give it a C+, just because it is an uncertainty. You are trying to bring in a linebacker, and you need the linebacker position so greatly because of the team you've seen when the linebackers have been injured. Tom Telesco said he was putting an importance on linebackers, and he's bringing back a guy that obviously has played really well but can't stay on the field. David, what are you giving Denzel Perryman?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to you as well, Daniel, but mine's a conditional grade. I'm definitely going to go C+ just as a start, just from face value, because I love Denzel Perryman. I like the person he is. And I know when he's on the football field, the run defense is better, and that's as simple as that. He has the instincts and the speed and the tackling ability that nobody else in that linebacking core has displayed when they're on the field. But that's the problem, Daniel. That's the problem. We don't know if he's going to be on the football field. So if he's healthy and he plays, let's call it 13-plus games a season, then my grade turns from a C+ to an A+ immediately.
Yeah, I think that's a good condition. Let's get to another guy we're very happy to have back, Adrian Phillips. The Chargers bring him back on a 2-year deal that can be worth up to $2.5 million with incentives and $1.25 million guaranteed. I give this deal an A because they brought Adrian Phillips back and how important he was, and they got him for cheap. But at the same time, John, I have to bring it down to a B, because the Chargers should have signed him for more years.
I'm in the same boat as you. I give it a B+ only because of the contract. The fact they brought him back is huge, but you gave him a 1-year deal that was really cheap. You gave him less money per year than you gave me, Bane, and could have given Phylon, that you gave Thomas Davis, that you gave Tyrod Taylor, and you only gave him a 1-year deal. It's a horrible contract in my mind. For as little as money as you gave him, if you could have given him even a 3-year deal, at least with that kind of money, you could have locked him down and not had to worry about cap space for a few years at that position. So for me, it's B+ just because of the contract. If they'd even made it a multi-year deal, even if it was for a little bit more money, it would have automatically been A+.
I mean, I love the move, obviously, and we all do. I mean, we all wanted Adrian Phillips back. So it's an A for the move, but it's an F because they didn't give him more money and they didn't give him the respect that he earned on the football field. This is a guy who's been cut 8 times from your organization, brought back, fought his way back, and made himself an integral part of the defense, the heart and soul of that defense, if you will. And I feel like the Chargers spat in his face with that contract. But you also got to flip the coin and think, hey, Adrian Phillips was on the market for a little while. He did not get re-signed immediately. So maybe we were overvaluing him, or other teams were undervaluing him. We just don't know. But, hey, obviously love to have him back. Hopefully after this season, if he performs again like he did this past season, he'll get the contract and the money that he deserves.
I mean, you can't ask for much. You can't ask much more from a player than to play every single special teams unit, basically, and to just play wherever the coaches think he's going to do best. I mean, Adrian Phillips has been played at a ton of positions, and he just kept playing and trying hard until they found something that fit for him. So I think you
have
to.
And guess what?
That.
He's an all pro. He's all an pro. All pro, Daniel.
He's a Pro Bowl player. And I mean, I just wish they could have locked him up for longer, because, I mean, best case scenario, he has a great season, and another team is probably going to sign him for much more than the Chargers just did, and maybe another good player gets away. I think all of us, are we all good with maybe a C for a Jeremy Davis grade because it's such a low impact, low risk signing?
Yeah, it's a meh for me.
Yeah, it probably doesn't even register on the scales. So we won't get too much into that because
I give it a C plus just because you brought back a guy that's been around and can contribute in more ways than one, and you didn't let him walk and spend more money on some other guy that could be a one-way player or something like that. So I give it a C plus.
I mean, the only reason that I'm saying that is because I knew we would all give around a C, and I think we all need more time for this last grade, and we're running a little long. The grade for Brandon Mebane's deal. All right, David, the floor is yours.
Oh, yeah, we need so much time for that one.
Okay, so when I heard that they re-signed Brandon Mebane, I was like, okay, all right. At that point, I was at a lukewarm C+. Because, you know, hey, he played through some crazy circumstances last year. He was there. He was on the field for the most part. He was not, was an injury concern. But when I found out how much money they gave him, and it being compounded by the fact that they chose to re-sign him instead of Darius Filon, it's an automatic F. Automatic F. It's not even negotiable in my mind. It makes literally no sense to me, and I don't think there really is anything else that we need to say about it. It's a complete failure of a move.
John, do you agree with an F?
Yes, I do agree with an F. And I would say at the beginning it was a D, maybe D plus, somewhere around there. And then it just turned into, oh, here's the money. Oh, and now Filon's gone. It just got worse and worse as it went on. So it's automatic F. There's no way to justify this. I would even say it's an H. This could go even more letters down.
Damn, not even a G. Straight to the H. That's pretty bad. I'm going to give it an F+. Brandon Mebane
is not a G.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to give it an F+. And I just don't want any of this to be misconstrued as us saying that we don't like Brandon Mebane as a player or a person. I would have been completely fine if the Chargers re-signed Brandon Mebane. But once it starts keeping you from keeping other players that could actually benefit this team in a much larger way, that's when I have the biggest issue with it. And that's why, with everything being included, the numbers, Darius Filon, his age, his performance, it has to be an F because the Chargers weren't getting the performance out of him. They weren't getting a younger player out of this deal. They were getting leadership, but to me, that's not worth 2 years, $9 million, and $5 million guaranteed that could have went to a more productive player. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. The moves keep happening, guys. I'm sure by Monday we will have much more to talk with you guys about. Thank you again for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. Make sure to subscribe to us on Himalaya or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from so you can always have the latest episode of the show. And the best way to listen to the show is by getting in your car and telling your smart assistant, play podcast Locked On Chargers, and it will play the latest episode. If you want to get your opinions and your thoughts on free agency on the show, make sure to call the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. The number is 323-524-7924, and we play every voicemail on the show. And let us know what your thoughts are on free agency. But we will talk to you guys next week. Thanks for letting us vent to you about Darius Filon and Brandon Mebane. We really appreciate it. We will talk to you later. Take it easy and go Bolts.